Good evening and welcome. The time is 6 p.m. and I'd like to call to order the April 14th, 2021 Kaiser Planning Commission. City Recorder has noted the attendance. We have two absent tonight, Commissioner Hostler and Commissioner Callier. I'd like to take a quick moment and invite Jessica Davidson up. Jessica is part of the Volunteer Coordinating Committee. She's here to talk to us about volunteer appreciation. For the commissioners, if you would, take a look at your mics, make sure they're all on. Mine was off this morning when I got here, so just make sure they're on. Jessica.
Good evening, and thank you all for being here. I'm going to read a proclamation to you. But first, I wanted to say thank you for serving our community. I don't know why it's doing that. Whereas a basic ingredient forming the foundation of the city of Kaiser is volunteerism. Are you the tech guy? No? Okay. Upon incorporation in 1982, the motto was adopted, pride, spirit, and volunteerism. Almost every facet of our community life is supported by volunteerism, and I don't know why it's still doing that. I don't have anything on me. Maybe I'll use a different mic if that's okay.
We can try that. Let's.
Okay.
Want to try this one? You'll have to. Hello, hello. Well, I don't. That one doesn't.
Should I just sit in the seat for a second, Frank?
Does it come on? Oh, that was not plugged
in. Is that okay?
Which, where?
Could I sit in Frank's seat?
Sure. Yes, okay. I think that one works. Yep.
Okay. Sorry. Makes it a little bit better so you guys don't have to hear that crazy feedback. Whereas many residents of this community contribute to the well-being of fellow residents and the welfare of our neighbors in the Mid-Willamette Valley and Santiam Canyon by giving generously of their time and energy. And whereas many volunteers assist the city of Kaiser in performing a multitude of duties, often providing services that would otherwise be reduced or non-existent. Many of the volunteers serve in an advisory role to the city council on our boards, commissions, and task forces. And whereas Kaiser volunteers faithfully show up to help whenever there is a need, this has been especially evident in the COVID pandemic. 2020 Santiam Canyon wildfire and the 2021 ice storm. And whereas the City of Kaiser values every one of our many Kaiser volunteers and wishes to extend our deepest appreciation to all, and now, therefore, I, Kathy Clark, I'm not Kathy, Mayor of the City of Kaiser, together with the Kaiser City Council assembled in regular session, do hereby proclaim that the month of April 2021 as a Volunteer Recognition Month. And ask that all people of Kaiser to express their thanks to the many volunteers who continue to help and serve in our community. And that is the proclamation, and then she signs it there at the bottom. So I'm going to grab the cookies and give them to you guys. And again, thank you for your service to our community.
Use your napkins to pick up the cookies, just so we're being COVID aware. Thank you, Jessica. And I think one of the things that's important to point out, one of the things the Volunteer Coordinating Committee has done in the last 4 or 5 months has been putting together a series of documents that will help. Good, thank you. Jane gets all the cookies.
Yeah, figure out something better than cookies. Do y'all have any other suggestions?
Brownies. Fried Brussels sprouts.
Fruit.
Have you had the ones from Taproot? They're awesome.
Wait, I do, because I want to see if there's a peanut butter one.
Thank you, Jessica.
Thank you. Is enough to be proclaimed? All right. Well, that's good.
Thank you.
Now, there aren't all chocolate. I think there's some. There's an oatmeal cookie in there with raisins. You want to try one?
Oatmeal raisins are the Decepticon of cookies. You think you're getting a chocolate chip one.
I know.
All of a sudden, you're just like, what is
this? There's oatmeal raisin on there. See if he wants to one of those, because he's allergic to chocolate. Well, see, I don't like chocolate, so most of the cookies I don't really care about. Yeah. Yeah, I like cheesecake.
So as I was saying, I think one of the cool things the Volunteer Coordinating Committee is doing, and the mayor and Councilor Kohler have been working on this, and others, is there's a series of documents now on the various community pages that talk a little bit about what the individual committees do. There's a list of, like, the Robert's Rules and things like that. So it's kind of a really good opportunity for folks that are coming on to commissions or boards or councils to familiarize themselves with the process, because many of us come in here that don't necessarily understand kind of how all that stuff boils down. So there's a lot more to come with that, I expect, right, Debbie?
Actually, no, I think I've pretty much got it for all of the committees now.
Okay.
It varies by the page you're on, because the purpose will be different for each one. And, like, the Parks Board has like, the master plan, or not the master plan, but some SDC methodology, that sort of thing. The Planning Commission one didn't change too much, because you have the video training that that Shannon gives, and they have there's another video training that is done that Shannon did for the other committees, and so that's on the other committee pages. But if you think of anything that you would like to see on there, just let me know, and I'll see what I can do to get it on there.
Great. And those videos are great. I mean, our city attorney is a brilliant public speaker, and if you run out of your Tylenol PM. No, I'm just kidding. it is very informative, very good information. So, all right. Any other volunteers? Yes, sir.
Thank you, Chair Lawyer. That's on, yeah.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, can you hear me now? Okay. I just wanted to say thank you sincerely as a staff person here. The Planning Commission has always been great to work with over the last few years that I've been coming. And I know that we ask a lot of planning commissioners, as staff. We give you guys the packets of information. And I really just do want to echo, we really appreciate having quality people that are engaged in our community, that are engaged in spending the time to do the work, and to listen.
Well, I think Commissioner Grant, Commissioner Saldivar, and I were kind of commenting in the living room earlier. This is kind of a fun commission. I mean, a lot of planning commissions struggle with topics and some of the issues that come in, and you know, we get to tackle and talk about some really cool things, not chickens, but you know, we talked about the sign code and how relatively unscathed that one came out a few years back, and despite Nate's extraordinary video editing capabilities. But anyways, yeah, it's a pleasure to serve on this commission with you all. Good stuff. Anything else? Any other thoughts on volunteerism? And thanks, Debbie, for putting up with all of us. It's like herding cats in a rainstorm sometimes. And
he's not near as bad as some of my others.
Well, you do a great job of coordinating all of it, and I know I appreciate it. The gentle reminders and the sometimes not so gentle reminders are very helpful. So, all right, moving on. Do we have the March 10th, 2021 minutes? Debbie sent those out with our packets. Do we have a motion on the minutes?
I move to approve the minutes.
I'll second that.
Okay, we have a motion to approve the minutes as presented by Commissioner Grantz and a second by Commissioner Watson. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed, say nay. All right. Motion passes unanimously. Debbie, do we have anybody signed up tonight for?
These people are, you didn't sign up, did you, Wayne? Yeah. We have two people from the Traffic Safety, Bikeways Pedestrian Committee. They're going to start coming to, or at least monitoring the meetings, see if they have anything that, if we do anything that they want to be part of. Isn't that about right?
I think that's a sneaky way to get into the planning committee.
Okay.
So we can always count on a crowd now.
Wayne's always entertaining. I like having Wayne around. Okay, well, moving on. So we have nobody signed up. So next item, we have the public hearing on the Kaiser Development Code, section 2.1. 130, the River Cherry Overlay District, RCOD, and Section 2.316, Infill Development Standards. I'll go ahead and open the public hearing on that at 6:09. Mr. Witham. Oh.
So that's section 1.200 definitions, 2.432 cottage cluster development, and 3.107 partitions. Those are almost like Scrivener corrections. There's not substantive changes, but I'll kind of walk through those as we go. But I did want to make sure we kind of clarify that piece for, since we're technically recommending we change those.
Is there any impact to the subdivision code?
So I guess for procedural, we don't have any issues in terms of including these since they weren't necessarily notified.
Sure. They were notified. We did update the PAPA. It just didn't make its way into the agenda.
Okay.
I missed that on when the agenda went out.
Not a problem. Middle house.
So that's one. And then the other one that we found, which was kind of a, was kind of an on accident kind of deal, we're recommending that we change how we calculate density. And currently what we've said is for density, which is on page 8, and it's in the little sub point, and the little number 1 in brackets, but that we don't allow accessory dwelling units to count towards minimum density for residential single-family zone lots, but we would allow it for medium density or mixed-use lots. And we had a specific development proposal shortly after the River Cherry Overlay District was approved. And we had a small parcel. The developer came in and they wanted to do a 4-lot subdivision. And they wanted to do a 4-lot subdivision where lots would have been larger than the minimum lot size. But their intention was to build out a little small community that was going to have a single family home with an attached ADU and a detached ADU. So 3 units per lot, creating a 4-lot subdivision for a grand total of 12 units. Because of this density provision, they ended up having to tweak their development plan because they couldn't meet our minimum density requirement with the 4 lots because there was only 4 houses, and they really needed 5 houses in order for it to meet the minimum density. So it was either request an additional variance, which didn't really have any reason to support it, or squeeze in another lot. And ultimately what it ended up resulting in is they are still, actually met with the developer today who's looking to buy the project. They're still going to attempt to put a house with an attached ADU on each of the 5 lots, so netting 10, well actually it's 9 because when they couldn't redevelop they ended up keeping the existing house. So it's ending up resulting in 9 total units versus if we would have had this flexibility built in, we could have gotten possibly 12 units. So I met with my staff, and that's come up a couple different times on small partitioning projects where it can be hard to meet the minimum density on these smaller parcels because you can't actually squeeze enough lots in. But if you can count ADUs as one of the dwellings, it's much easier to meet that minimum. And so we feel that that's appropriate because it really does give more flexibility to the developer to provide those alternate housing types that we've identified that we need more of in Kaiser. So that's kind of the first biggest change that's substantive in nature. So before we kind of move on to the other ones, if you have any questions on that, I'd be happy to ask or answer, maybe. I'll try.
Sure. Good.
Okay, sorry, Shane, I missed this the first read through. The footnote 1 there under the table?
Yes.
So why is it changed to maybe instead of are?
So it's an option. You don't like that, huh?
Well, why? I mean, it's not, it's minimum density, so there's no reason that it, there's no reason somebody would say, I don't want you to include it. Because it's a minimum density, right? It was a maximum density, you know. Accessory residential units may be included in the minimum density. It's like, so maybe at their option?
No, you're right.
It works the other way.
Okay.
Not included in the maximum density.
Yeah.
That part's right, but it seems like there would be no reason why they would not include it. And when it says maybe, it's like, well, how do you decide? And, you know, in other words, at their option, but.
Yeah.
I think there's probably a reason you did that, and you probably told me and I forgot.
There is, and I don't remember right now.
All right, let's not worry about it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't have an answer for you right now, Shannon.
Okay. Sorry, I didn't see that until today.
So specifically, we're talking about on page 8 of 2, right?
Okay. So, Shannon, I see what you're saying. So the strikeout part that's the R or the maybe, you're right, and maybe I don't need to say maybe. The big piece is we want to make sure that it's not in that, it's not limited to only in the RM.
Right, the rest of it all makes sense.
Yeah, I don't know, you're right, I don't know that it needs to say maybe. In my mind, that was, it gave the developer the flexibility to choose
right.
if they wanted to use it, but you're right, I guess I don't have to say that.
There is no reason why they wouldn't.
Yeah, because it wouldn't actually matter because we're not changing the language on the maximum.
Right.
Yeah, okay, I see what you're saying.
So we'll make that R.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
It can stay R. You're correct.
Okay.
My bad.
Okay. So specifically on the parking issue on section 2.130. That's what we're talking about, right?
Yep.
Okay. What are any discussion? Well, any comments from the commission? Nope. Commissioner Watson?
I'll just say that I'm generally very positive about anything that reduces parking requirements, and I know that this is more just bringing RCOD in line with something that appears to have been an error. I'm just happy to be voting on reducing parking requirements.
Moving on.
Okay, so then our second section is a super easy one to talk about. It's section 2.316, and it's all red lights. So we're just recommending that we get rid of it in its entirety. And not to belabor the explanation too much, but historically, section 2.316 it housed a large chapter development that the city created back in, I think it went into effect in 2000 or maybe 2001. It was one of those big planning projects that was funded by the state. We looked at how can we utilize some of our larger parcels citywide. And so there was this whole chapter. It had different sections for street standards. It had different setbacks, different building types, like what the buildings had to look like, this whole deal. And then after we had that implemented for probably 5, 6, maybe even 7 or 8 years, we ended up kind of folding those standards into the code and said, hey, if these building design standards are good for infill, they're good for everywhere. If these street standards are good for infill with a certain number of lots, that's good citywide. And so we actually stripped the infill section, and that was a little bit before my time coming to these meetings. But we had basically stripped the infill section down to where it really became just this little chapter that was the only thing that it required is that if you're on an infill parcel, you submit this kind of pseudo plan that looks at building heights. And if your building heights are significantly taller than surrounding neighborhoods, then maybe you have to provide some additional landscaping or some additional setback issues. And this is historically, for the past 10 years, created conflicts and some problems for developers because oftentimes somebody comes in and subdivides a property and then they sell those lots off to a builder and there's almost these hidden requirements that aren't very obvious. And so they go in, actually I just dealt with one 2 weeks ago where a subdivision came in. It's in a neighborhood that is mostly new subdivision, but it was immediately surrounded by there's like three big parcels, and it's one of the three. And so there's these 1960s ranchers that are 16 feet tall on either side, and then one lot on the other side, there's a 33-foot tall sandstone. And so it's very awkward to have to talk to that builder who's come in and paid a designer to come up with plans and go, oh, none of your plans now work, and you've got to spend thousands of dollars to modify them. Initially, when staff was looking at the RCOD, we knew that we wanted to not have infill standards apply to the RCOD specifically, that River Cherry Overlay District, because as a public process, we had gone through and already identified that this is an area that we want to see densification. would be a lot bigger deal if this chapter was robust and had a lot of things in it, but it frankly was kind of a little holding point that has done nothing more than kind of prevent some of those different housing types. You know, for example, if somebody wants to build some narrower lots with zero lot line dwellings, they almost have to go two-story in order to accommodate the square footage that makes sense to pencil. And with the height restriction, you get limited to not put enough square footage on a lot to make it pencil, and so things will sit fallow and not be developed at all. So that's kind of why I moved from saying, oh, just in the RCOD, and then I started thinking about it more and looking at some of our recent developments and went, you know what? I think that it is time that we just simply say, okay, you got a lot, it's big enough to be divided. That developer, that property owner, should be able to divide that lot and develop it with a lot that you could build on any other subdivision lot in town. So with that, if you have questions on that, I'm happy to answer them.
So eliminating the section 2.316, the changes there for section 1200 on definitions just eliminates that from the section 1.200, correct? And then on section 2.432 on page 11, that eliminates that line there under sub E.
Yeah, which is a criteria for the both the cottage cluster and the partition.
Okay. And then the last one is just specifically related to the parcels 3.107 07 sub E at the very end.
Yep.
Okay, so they're all related to the specific recommended elimination of the infill chapter.
Yes.
I noticed in the staff report, Shane, and I apologize if I'm not seeing it.
Okay. And then the one thing I did want to kind of say is that I think that the one thing that Planning Commission does have to consider with this elimination of section 2.316, you know, there is that flip side argument that you could say, hey, that section less one we're going to have to do later. So that was kind of my reasoning behind it. So, and then the other thing I kind of wanted to just acknowledge, we didn't receive any written comments, although I did receive some email correspondence back and forth from Fair Housing Council of Oregon. They are watching text amendments a lot closer, especially in light of House Bill 2001. So when this hit the state system for my 45-day notice for the hearing, I got an immediate email on, I want to know what you're proposing. And I'm like, I haven't even written everything yet. I just put the notice in. I know I'm changing it. I don't exactly know. But the gal's name is Jean, and we had a good conversation on the phone. And I got an email from her.
Any comment on basically 2.316, 1.200, 2.432, 3.107? And I'd like to note for the record that Commissioner Callier got here at 6:15.
I apologize for being delayed. It was poor planning on my part.
It's very kind of you to save that kitty from that tree. Commissioner Grants.
I would just like to say that I support those revisions to the code wholeheartedly.
Wow, a lot of enthusiasm tonight for comments. All right. Are we good with closing the public hearing on this? Any by the ways? Gentlemen?
Did you open the public hearing?
I did.
You need to double check that no one wants to testify?
I was getting ready to. Thank you.
Okay.
Wayne, sir? I don't know your name. I apologize. Just here for info. Okay. No by the ways. All right. We will close the public hearing at 6:32. Okay, let's entertain a motion recognizing the one Scrivener, right, are we calling it a Scrivener error on the and or the may? So do we? Would the motion be as modified or?
As amended.
As amended.
As amended is significant. Is
as amended.
It's really hard to figure out why that was important and I just realized that.
So I would ask that include all the sections in your motion, please. Don't make me call on somebody.
Nobody? I'll make a motion. I move that we approve to the council the staff report and code section amendments as presented by staff with the lone revision to the Scribner's error to KDC sections 2.130, 2.316, 1.200, 2.432, and 3.107.
Second.
Okay. We have a motion to approve by Commissioner Grants and a second by Commissioner Herb to approve as amended. Can we, do we have to repeat it? Okay. All right, any discussion on that? No? All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. Motion passes unanimous, one absent. For an 80-something page packet,
well, it's not something as controversial as chickens.
Right. I think Shane just wanted to looked at it and said, okay, what's the most paper I can send out to freak these folks out? All right. New old business staff report. So is the current study, is that tied to a fiscal year?
So yeah, the study has to be completed by the end of June because of the way the state funding cycle is.
So I guess the question, I mean, what resources do you have to compel the state to put a moratorium on that date? Because I'm a little concerned about wanting to put something out there with a precedent set on data that is very out of date, because it has a lot of community implications, right? So we put out this study that says, oh, we're expecting, you know, 9,800 people or something within the region over the course of the next 20 years, and this next document comes out, like, the next month is like, just kidding, right? So, I mean, I'm really curious to see, you know, kind of lean on the state a little bit and say, look, we got some information coming down the pipeline that's going to have a significant impact on kind of how we're going to be looking at the visioning of this whole concept.
Yeah, I had on Monday a Zoom meeting with our consultant and our state DLCD reps, both Kevin and our regional rep, about this exact issue. We had the little seminar and they hadn't broken down the Kaiser-Salem split, and then the number came out, and I think that was actually maybe the night of the council meeting last week that I found out what the numbers actually kind of looked like. And they're still an extrapolation. They don't exactly line up with our planning horizon year because it is a 20-year look, and so they've put out numbers for 2035, 2045. Well, we're planning for like 2041. So it's in between those, but kind of looking and applying the adjusted annual growth rate, our consultant has kind of said, I'm real close. I'm not exactly right, but I'm within about 50 people here. So we had a meeting with the state about that exact issue, because I have the same concern. I'm like, why would we go through and adopt a new housing needs analysis and finish this work and it's immediately wrong? Like, that makes no sense at all. Like, we need to have it line up with the actual number. So in talking with the state, we believe we have a path forward to make that happen. It could be a little bit weird, but I think that we will be able to address that in hopes. And I think one of the things we'll have to do is we'll have to hold off on adopting that study until sometime later in the summer, when those numbers are actually certified as this is the right number. So we can still have all the work done, but that's kind of what we're looking at doing as our approach. But yeah, I appreciate your concern, because I have the exact same concern.
I think 1-2% is like meh, but 50%, that's very significant in my opinion. Commissioner Salvador.
Well, do you know what the driving factor is to show the reducing in the numbers?
So they are, you know, with, and I'm not a population projection guy, Commissioner Salvador, so like with large grains of salt, take what I'm about to say. But essentially there's a few different things that they look at when they model population projections. In a simplistic way of looking at it, one of the things that's reducing the overall state population projections
That was my next question, was even the 5,000 number is still something that we have to manage, right? I mean, it's not,
yeah.
I mean, it's not 10,000, but it's not like we have room for that growth either. So
it's, it's a lot closer.
So correct me if I'm wrong, but if we delay finalizing the study and adopting the study, we're required to use this PSU growth projection rate, right?
Yes.
Is there any reason to adopt the study prior to that then? And a planning commissioner.
Well, in either scenario, you're lowly. A rock and a hard place, right? So you go with the numbers that are now, and you get sent back to the drawing board on it. You go with the new numbers, and they go, well, you're fine because you don't need this. That's going to give us a lot better baseline than an out-of-date study that's inaccurate. And part of the challenge is whether it's 5,000 or 10,000 population growth, we're still struggling to accommodate either.
Yeah.
So. Commissioner Kelly, you've been awful quiet.
Also, I just want to give you guys a heads up because it could become interesting for sure.
Good times. Mr. Johnson, you got anything for us tonight?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right, Councilor Duran, welcome. Thank you for being here tonight.
Well, thank you. I really don't have much other than the city council's been busy on items that aren't really fun to talk about. So we've been, so there's really not a whole lot other than the council went on the parks board or the parks tour. And I enjoyed that myself, seeing some parks that I've seen but never been in. So that was kind of a nice thing to get a chance to see. Talking about these numbers, when I was on that webinar with Shane, that, you know, I just couldn't believe that these numbers were real, with the population, you know, going down that much compared to what we'd all been talking about. So I was definitely going in at the time trying to check out different things to see what, you know, what the reasoning was behind it. And it's just, it's hard to understand that those numbers are going to be real. But it looks right to me, but I guess we'll see. Other than that, I have nothing else for us tonight.
So, council representative, supposed to be Commissioner Hostler. He won't be here. I can volunteer for it unless somebody else is chomping at the bit. Jane, have you done one yet?
No, I can do it if you want me to.
Want to come shadow?
Yeah. Okay. Which one? What?
April 19th.
Okay.
So we'll tag team it.
All right. Thank you. Sounds good.
All right. So the next meeting, so initially, Shane, we talked about doing this next one as a virtual, I think, because that was kind of what the consultant had requested, right? But it sounds like now we've got options.
No, we still don't have options. Because of the size of the group, because it was going to be council and planning commission, and because of the consultant, it is fortunate or unfortunate, it will need to be a virtual meeting for that next meeting.
But my agenda gives me options.
I know. Agenda-wise. PSU provides the agenda. It's not PSU's fault, but originally we thought there might be an option, but there really is not that option. So
do we need, since there's not really an option, do we need the sort of perfunctory motion to go to a virtual setting?
Or you can just do it by consensus.
Okay.
There's no objection because we can't really take an objection. My understanding is the council has already kind of determined this anyway, so.
Fair enough. Commissioner Grants.
I move that we meet virtually and do so at council's behest.
So moving forward, just follow whatever the council's doing?
Yeah.
I think that's kind of what we were doing before anyways. All right. So motion to hold our meetings consistent with what the city council is doing. A second?
Second.
Is that you? Okay. Any discussion? All those in favor, say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. Motion passes unanimously. All right. I think that is it. I just want to thank you all for taking the time to come out tonight. Shane, as always, great work. City Attorney Johnson, thank you for the input tonight and giving us a fantastic 6-syllable amendment to that. We will stand adjourned at 6:56.